The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
St. Patrick's Day, as we greet you on a Friday, March Madness in the air. We are live from a bar. Or in our dreams, we are. Good afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our program on this Friday as we look ahead to tomorrow. Some huge games going on, including a few today. But right now, the SEC seems to be owning the NCAA tournament. Only one loss yesterday in the opening round. That was the team that complained the most, quite frankly, about their seeding. Maybe the NCAA knew what they were doing. This is what we saw. Missouri, Arkansas, how about that? Tennessee struggling, but moving on. Bama getting no points from its star. Auburn looking good in Birmingham, and that was the game we were mentioning. Penn State and A&M, Buzz Williams' teams just couldn't stop the shooting of Penn State. Kentucky, how could we forget Kentucky? We haven't. They play tonight. And we'll lead right into that game. Well, at least if you're watching TV, you can always flip over. On the women's side, Dawn Staley doing well so far. Game is early. We'll update you throughout the afternoon. But the Gamecocks firmly ahead. She's been doing Dawn's been doing Aflac's commercials with Coach K, just like Dawn and Dion. Except she's still working. So South Carolina leads Norfolk State 29-12. Other games underway, including Georgia and Florida State. We'll update you throughout the afternoon. You don't have to be watching six TVs. We will tell you all you need to know this afternoon. There's a media rights battle out west. The presidents in the Pac-12 are doing a lot of talking, and we'll talk to Stu Mandel about that a little bit later on. Spring QB battles galore, and that will be another one of our many, many topics over these next 4 hours. Ben Portnoy joins us. There's no complaint from this Portnoy as we say hello to Ben from the state. Ben, good afternoon. I know a lot of things happening today. We appreciate you being on, but something you said the other day really caught our attention. We're all, theoretically, I should say, excited about spring football and the spring football games. And Missouri has its tomorrow, but you had some pretty strong opinions about what we should do with these spring games. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's funny. You know, we were talking about this the other day, and when you look at spring games, obviously a crazy time of year, and things have kind of, you know, started gearing that direction. I think Missouri canceled theirs this week because it's too cold. But we were kind of talking about the idea of how these scrimmages, or I guess glorified practices, basically at this point, have kind of lost some of their flavor. And I don't know necessarily if there's a right answer to how to fix it. Obviously, we've seen the NFL try and do things with the Pro Bowl and things like that. But basically, it led us to the discussion of, basically, is it time to either get rid of spring games? Is there a way to sort of reinvigorate them? What can kind of be done? And I think there's a couple of ideas floated around, at least just for fun.
Well, let's talk about them because, I mean, I've covered a lot of spring games and none of them are any good. But fans like to go. Parents like to take kids. It's low cost. Usually a pretty day, unless you're in Como on Saturday. So what do you propose?
I mean, I think there's a couple of alternatives. I think one, is there a way to make it, you know, more of a true game? That's part of it. But then you look at it and, you know, Shane Beamer's talked a lot about this in Columbia, how college football is the only sport in America. Really, there's no true preseason. I mean, even if you look at, you know, the soccer teams here at South Carolina have a couple of exhibition games. The basketball teams have an exhibition game or two. There's no real exhibition for college football. And Shane has talked a lot about how he's always been a proponent of how there should be some kind of preseason to college football. Now, the spring game has sort of become that de facto preseason or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, is there a way to take, say, we always joke about the SEC teams, right, playing, you know, Furman or whoever it might be in the middle of November before conference rivalry weekends and stuff like that. you know, is there a way to move those games to the spring and make it more interesting? You know, you're probably not going to get LSU and Georgia playing each other in March, but is there a way to make these games at least a little more interesting for some of the teams involved? And I think that's at least one way to do it.
Yeah, I don't know what the cost would be because, I mean, the Furmans of the world pick up a million plus by being a sacrificial lamb, although I remember being in Williams-Brice about 6 or 7 years ago for one of those, and the wrong guy won. I think it was the Citadel who beat. I think that's right. Never will forget that game. So ultimately, could that happen? Would they wouldn't be as controlled, though, would they? Because right now, Shane Beamer doesn't want the quarterback to get hit. He's not going to get hit, and usually they're not going to get hit, are they?
Right, no. And I mean, that's the reality, is how feasible is this actually? I think there's folks far above my pay grade and in Greg Sankey's office who probably think I'm crazy saying what I'm saying. But, you know, I do think that there is, you know, something to it, right, to having a scrimmage or a lead up game. And maybe that takes the shape of something in, you know, August, where you play one of those games earlier in the year as a true preseason game as opposed to in the spring, or something along those lines. But I do think that, you know, when you look at it, I mean, South Carolina, for example, last year played its spring game. It was barely even really a scrimmage, some of that because of injuries, and there just really weren't enough offensive and defensive linemen to go around to run a full game. And at that point, you basically had the offense going 40 yards and in, did that for a little while, and then it turned into, you know, some red zone drills and things like that. So it's really kind of shifted away from an actual true game. Now there's a million reasons for that, and like you said, some of it's you don't want quarterbacks getting hit, you don't want guys getting injured in the game that truly doesn't matter on any level imaginable. So I think that's part of it, but I do think that there is something to be said about, you know, is there a way to make these games a little more interesting or spice it up, or can you actually get a real matchup or something along those lines? You know, at that time of year, I mean, look at high school football, right? Across the South, there's all sorts of jamborees and things like that go on during the spring. Is there a way to bring something like that to college football? I don't know. Maybe not, but I do think it's at least an interesting thing to kind of kick around.
Well, I'm glad you did. Speaking of spring, Ben, let's talk a little bit about what to expect. Beamer coming off of really an incredible year. I remember seeing you in Columbia on a cold Friday night, and it seemed like the season was about over. The Gamecocks had just lost to Florida, I believe, the week before. They went out and beat Tennessee the next day, and then Clemson the week after that, and everything has changed. So what's it look like for the upcoming Gamecocks on the field?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think when you and I were talking then in Columbia, I think at that point I had just put in a prediction for South Carolina to lose something like 55-10 to Tennessee or something along those lines, and I was joking with Beamer after the game that I think now the last 3 or 4 times I've picked them to lose by 4 touchdowns, they've gone and won the game. So I don't know what it is with that, but I do think that folks are excited, and you look at this team and this program and where things are at. I mean, it's hard to argue with the upward trajectory. I mean, they started 7-6 a year ago and won, you know, 7 games, beat UNC in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. In a season that, frankly, I and a lot of others thought South Carolina might be lucky to win 2 or 3 games. You come off, you get to 8-5, beat Tennessee and Clemson, and really had a really good shot to win that Gator Bowl. It was kind of lost in the shuffle of bowl season, but was a really great game and kind of a wild game to get to possibly 9 wins. So I think that if you're South Carolina, like, that's the range you want to be fighting for right now, right? If South Carolina is winning 8-9 games, maybe not 10-11, but that's a standard that hasn't really been consistent here in Columbia really ever outside of Steve Spurrier. I mean, obviously there were some good seasons in there and the 11 win seasons, 3 in a row, but outside of that, I mean, this is a program that hovers basically around 500. So if you're winning, you know, even 7, 8, 9 games, like, you're in a really good spot. And I think there's a lot of excitement around Shane Beamer. I think bringing Spencer Rattler back, getting Juice Wells back at receiver, there's reason to be excited, and you're going to learn a lot about this team quickly between North Carolina, Georgia, and Mississippi State and Tennessee. And there you go, seeing the schedule right there, Florida as well, really, really quickly. So if South Carolina can get through that first half of the schedule, it's somewhere around, you know, I mean, even 3-2, if they somehow get through it at 4-2, I mean, they're sitting pretty heading into that back half.
I'm going to slap myself for asking you, considering the last prediction you gave us, you just got through expressing wrong, of course. So having said all that, Ben, and nobody got that game right, what do you think? You laid out the first half of the season. What's realistic for the Gamecocks?
I mean, I don't think it's crazy to say that South Carolina can win 8 games next year. Excuse me. I think that this is a team that, you know, on paper, they lost some pieces. I think they return about 10 starters, so you're going to have to replace about half the starters there. But there's a lot of experience. There's some pieces that I think are going to fit. They've got to figure out running back. They've got to figure out defensive end. But I think when you, like I said before, when you look at this schedule, I mean, if South Carolina gets into the back half of the schedule with 4 wins, you feel pretty good about your chances against Missouri, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and even Clemson. And obviously you've got Jacksonville State and A&M there, who South Carolina beat last year in Columbia in the Aggies. So I think that there's a world where this team's winning 8-9 games next year. Now, whether that happens, we'll see. I think the floor is probably somewhere around 6-ish. Maybe 7. I think it would be a really big surprise and frankly a big disappointment if this team doesn't go to a bowl game. But I think Shane Beamer's expressed it, and folks here in Columbia have expressed it, you know, whether publicly or privately, that there's some excitement and they think this team can go. And I think even still, despite last season, can still sneak up on some people as well.
Ben Portnoy, always a fun conversation. Ben, be well. Thank you for making time for us. We will hopefully see you very, very soon. Great stuff from Ben, one of our favorites. And we head to the break. We have a lot to do today. We'll update you on the NCAA tournament. Not a whole lot happening right now. One near Cinderella story has gone down the drain with Kennesaw losing to Xavier. That was a close game. And in fact, it looked like Xavier was beaten. But other than that, not much happening compared to yesterday. We'll talk about yesterday and look ahead to tomorrow right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Busy afternoon. We already had Ben Portnoy on. Mandel joining us. Max Olson. And Pat Bradley will come in here and get us ready for the Kentucky-Providence game tonight and look ahead to tomorrow. Logan in North Carolina has made one of the great comebacks of March Madness on this show. Hello, Logan.
Hey, Paul. Got a question for you. Have you got the dream team set yet? Or are you still trying to recruit?
It's an evolving situation, Logan.
Okay. Well, if you need a legal defense fund, I just want to let you know we're here for you. I'm sure plenty of us will pitch in.
I don't think we'll need a legal defense fund because I don't think after the three embarrassing calls of the unnamed artist, I don't think we'll ever hear from him again. Ever. Ever.
I hope not. I mean, I hate to say it, but the guy just has nothing useful to say. He brings nothing to the show except strife, and I'm tired of hearing the guy.
I think he played himself out this week. He followed one embarrassing call after another, and then the final call was so far beyond the pale of normal people that I would hope that he would be so embarrassed that he would just crawl back into the rock from whence he came.
All right. Well, I apologize for even mentioning him, and I won't do so anymore. But thank you, Paul. I got one thing. I got a bone to pick with one of your ESPN colleagues. This morning, I was watching Get Up or some show, and they had – it might have been SportsCenter. They had Dickie V on there.
Yeah.
And he was going to give his picks. And he goes – I mean, he's on there for 5 minutes. He goes into a two-minute dissertation about how Brandon Miller should have been suspended because – they didn't know what was happening. I mean, how can you suspend a guy when you don't know what's going on?
Vital was outraged early on. And hey, listen, I don't need to do a preamble to everything I say. Vital's place in history is well enshrined, but he has no clue what he's talking about in relation to Brandon Miller.
No, and he's gotten to be about like Lee Corso. I mean, those guys, I mean, they've had a good career. It's time to call it a day, guys. I mean, let's come on, man. They're not bringing anything useful to anything anymore. So I'm sorry, but I'm just going to have to call for Dickie V and Corso. Goodbye, guys. But that's all I wanted to say, Paul. I called in the other day about this.
Lee Corso. I mean, Lee Corso usually has researched an opinion. I admire Corso at 88 years old. I'd be happy to still be walking on the earth at that age, let alone showing up on TV. Vital's a whole nother story. Vital's about 84, and he's overcome a lot of serious health issues, which I think we're all happy with. But I would agree. Yeah. I don't care what he thinks.
Well, I'm just waiting. The reason I want Corso to retire, Paul, is because I want you in that position. I think that you would bring a lot to College Game Day, and I think that's going to be your next job. I'm going to give you a vote of confidence to go in there and do that and bring some knowledge to these picks. Because
I really don't want to leave where I am. I much prefer doing what I do with the people with whom I do it than to parachute into that circus.
Well, we appreciate you, Paul. So, we're happy to stay here. I just want to see you do great, man. And that's kind of, I guess I am a sycophant, like Jim says. But whatever. But hey, man, great show yesterday. I want to say that the last few days, I know you've been going up against the tournament, but these shows have been excellent. Anybody that's not watching, you guys are missing out. So you need to tune in to Paul.
Logan, thank you. Spread the word. AC is up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for taking my call. Are you with me?
Yeah, I said hello.
Mr. Weinbaum?
I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah, I addressed you as Mr. Feinbaum, and sir, that's how you respect everybody. You know, we all go through something in life. We all do. Today I'm having a good day. Tomorrow I may not. So my advice to – I'm going to be nice today. I'll try my best. My advice to Jim, if you need help, go get the help. Don't even promote to everybody. Mr. Feinbaum, like I said before, I'm a private guy. If I need to talk to you, I'm going to talk to you privately. I'm not here to promote 1,000 people. They're not going to help me, dude. I'm going to help myself. So my advice for Jim, if you need help, anyone out there, not just Jim, if you need help, go get the help. If you want to be admitted to the hospital, go do it. Don't hurt yourself. Hurt someone else. That's my piece of advice. And attacking someone's religion, come on, dude. You can do a lot better than that. I'm more educated than you are. Trust me when I say this. But, Mr. Feinbaum, I love you. I love your team. Holla.
Thank you very, very much, AC. Hugh in Deep Gap, North Carolina. Hello, Hugh.
Good afternoon, Paul. My favorite week of the year, wall-to-wall basketball.
It is great.
But that's not why I'm calling. I've kind of been listening with one ear to as much of your broadcast as I could, and a subject's not come up that's really beginning to bug me now that I'm 82 years old. When we go to a quad system in 9 games, conference games, our new SEC protocol with 12 teams being involved in a playoff, actually, I don't understand why it's necessary to have a conference championship when by all likelihood, both of those two teams that would play in that championship will be involved the following week in a long playoff. You understand what I'm saying?
Well,
it's only about money. There's no football reason.
I understand completely what you're saying, but you understand as well, because you just alluded to it, that it's a standalone game.
But it goes deeper than that, Paul.
Well, no, it's a very from a financial standpoint, that is a very valuable game.
It is to some, but what about the games that are going to follow it? How valuable are they? Well, and there's going to be three times as many as there were before.
No, I totally agree. And there may be a day when that game becomes obsolete, but right now it's part of the television package.
It's also true about the conference playoff, you know, the tournament immediately before the NCAA. Paul, you used to do the racehorses, didn't you? Didn't you cover racing?
I covered thoroughbreds early in my career. I sure did.
Do you know what a teaser pony is?
I think so, yes.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. Whether you're a warm-up act in the music business or a teaser pony on a stud farm, that's kind of what you're doing when you play in a conference basketball tournament immediately before the NCAA. I mean, there's absolutely...
But Hugh, you also understand it's not only about the competition. There is a tremendous revenue stream in a conference basketball
tournament. It's all about the money.
You know that.
It smells like a pure money grab.
Well, Hugh,
with very little else beneficial to the players, the teams that have to play in them. And at some point, when is enough money enough, Paul?
Never.
I mean... I believe that we're going to have to give that a long look. Okay. The college season in both football and basketball are probably a bit too long, but the only team that has a prayer of getting help in a conference basketball tournament are the poor teams that need to win them all, and what you do to win 5 days in a row in a basketball tournament, that's insane, Paul. It really is. It's not about the kids. It's not about the sport. It's about their damn pocketbook. And if $80 million a year per team isn't enough, we maybe are looking at the wrong balance sheet. That's my statement. I'll leave it at
Hugh,
that.
I appreciate your thoughts, and I appreciate anyone taking a healthy, honest approach to intercollegiate athletics. But if you just look at the events of the last couple of months, weeks, days, you would know better. You've been around a long time, Hugh. I appreciate that idealistic freshman in college approach, but you also know better about the way things go and are today. We'll take a short break. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back here on St. Patrick's Day, and John is up next in Atlanta. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to touch base with you. I'm an old Alabama boy, Birmingham boy, raised up in Birmingham, and got left Birmingham in the late 60s and came to Atlanta, and I've been up here. But I've still got that Alabama blood in me, you know what I mean?
Well, I know what you mean.
And I just want to call and tell you that I appreciate your show. You never have a bad show.
Thank you.
And I got a proposition for you.
Okay.
When you retire from the show, and I want to tell you this too, I'm a chaplain in state prisons up here. And that little deal going on the other day, listen, there's never, there's no way you could ever be the devil. So we'll just mark that off right now. But
I would imagine you probably come closer to it than I have, being a chaplain for a prison.
Yeah, you can say that again, because I hadn't always been a chaplain, you know what I mean? But I was thinking the other day, when you retire, if you'll give me about a month ahead, I'm going to go get us a big bass boat.
Okay.
And we're going to do some angling together. Because there's one thing that you know, you certainly know how to pull in them big mouth bass. And because you pull them in over all
time. Well, when I was a kid, my dad and I, he loved to go fishing. And I'm not even sure I've been fishing since he passed away. But I learned a little bit about it early on. So maybe in my golden years, I can get back to angling like I used to. I will call you. Where do you live?
I live right out, McDonough, Georgia.
Okay.
About 30 miles south of Atlanta.
Okay.
I retired from Ford Motor Company years ago. And,
well, John, the day I walk out of here, I'm coming down to see you, okay? So.
Now, I know that you can bait that hook.
I learned that as a – by the way, when we would go fishing a million years ago, I mean – I'll never forget. I was 5 years old, and we'd stop at the bait shop. Back then, I mean, it was so long ago. We were using worms and minnows.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, they still work. Crickets, get some crickets. But I feel sure before your show's over that you're going to drag in some big mouse.
Oh yeah. Now that's John. If you wouldn't tell anybody about this secret, I'd appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Okay, thank you very much. You bet.
Thank you.
Got it. that is really funny. How about Red in Dothan, Alabama? Hello, Red.
This is Dirty Red. How you doing, Paul?
Good afternoon to you.
I know this is a national show, but luckily we had one of our favorite talk show hosts pass yesterday. That was Phil Paramore. And I know Phil was on your – he had you on your show a couple of times. I wanted to know if you had heard about it.
Listen, thank you for saying that. In fact, Michael, his brother, texted me late last night, and I heard from Lance Griffith today from down there. You know Lance. And
right.
I can't tell you how deeply sad I am. Phil Paramore started as a sports writer down there in the Wiregrass, became a great talk show host. We used to be on the same station on Wolf down there, and was a great friend. And I talked to him not that long ago about some of the things he was doing. And I mean, he was as big in that market as anybody's that could be anywhere, and has left such an indelible impression on so many people and a tremendous legacy.
Yes, Carl's been calling all day to Lance's show and the Gary show, another one of our sports talk show hosts. And a lot of people loved him, a lot of people knew him, and he will be missed. And I knew he would always tell us, From two to six, you need to listen to the ball time.
Well, I got to know him early on in my sports writing career, and we were together countless times. And then about 10 years ago, I came down to the Wiregrass for a big event, and I remember going by and doing the show from the studios that day. And he was always there when I was coming through. I think I came through there on a book signing too, and I've been thinking about Phil all day. I'm glad you brought that up, because when I saw that that text early this morning, it really shattered me. There just are to do what he did and to have the influence and the impact is just so difficult today in today's modern media.
Yeah, like I said, Lance and Gary, who've taken this place, they do an excellent job. But Phil was, the original guy that got it all started, and we appreciate it to him and what he did down here in Dothan. And like I said, he always loved sports, he loved doing it, and he loved talking about it.
Well, thank you. We will forever remember Phil Paramore here and anywhere that where sports is a big topic. Hey, thank you very much for sharing that with us. So let's continue with more phone calls. And Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
What's going on, Paul?
Doing well.
I seen where Jordan was selling the Hornets last night. You aren't in on that, are you?
Yeah, I'm really not. I'm not a major threat for a $1 billion exchange. If he, I might put up $100. By the way, I don't think that franchise is worth $100, let alone $3 billion.
Right. Maybe if he gets out of the way, we might could win some.
It's pretty remarkable that probably I'm not sure there's ever been a greater athlete at any sport than Michael Jordan, who's left a bigger legacy. And a worse owner. He is without a doubt the worst owner in maybe sports franchise history.
Yep. I wanted to get your thoughts. I'm a Duke fan and a part-time Tennessee fan, so I'm torn tomorrow. Who you got tomorrow in the men's basketball game?
Well, I'm a full-time Tennessee fan, so I can assure you I will be pulling for the Vols. Hey, thanks for the call. We'll take a short break. Your phone calls continue here at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back here Friday afternoon, St. Patrick's Day. Peggy is up next. Hello, Peggy.
Paul, how are you?
Peggy, I am well. Thank you.
Oh, well, I hope you're safe on this St. Patrick's Day. I've just been... I told you about my John Ward story yesterday,
right?
I believe it was.
You sure did.
And I didn't address, that guy, that's what we'll say, that guy. And I was just, while I was on hold, it dawned on me. It really dawned on me what's going on here. He was trying to lead an insurrection against you and take over your show. He was leader of the crazies. Trying to lead an insurrection. And, he's went plumb off. No backing down. No backing down. No stopping. Just get, you have to get crazier and crazier with each call off. That's what I've realized. I've been doing some research from the first call made on March the 5th.
Right.
And I was on hold ice cream, so I've done a little bit of research, and then he waited like 10 days before he called back in. He's out there. I guarantee he's doing surveillance right now listening. He said he'd never call back. He didn't say he wasn't listening. And I tell you, as a Tennessee fan, I have just sat here, and I mean, this is just like, Alabama on Alabama, attacking its own. That's when it dawned on me. Insurrection.
Well, thank you very much, Peggy. I appreciate you sharing that with all of us. Snowman is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure to talk to you this afternoon. I had a question for you. You mentioned something a while back in passing at the end of the season in regards to Tennessee football locker room. And it sounded like maybe you knew a little bit more of the story than what was being led on from Tennessee. Is there any way you could maybe – what happened before the South Carolina game?
Yeah, first of all, let me make it clear. I don't know anymore. A number of people have passed along information on that, but I feel uncomfortable going beyond – what you are referring to, because I just don't know. Something happened because that team was not the same that night. And but I don't feel like I know enough to say something that's any different than an internet rumor.
Well, that's fair enough. Is there any chance you could get Coach Heupel on this coming off season?
I hope so. We look forward to seeing him, and maybe I don't think not clear the air, but certainly we always like saying hello to him. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check out Bob in Mississippi. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How you? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you very much.
Listen, I was going back to the opening statement about the spring games. Why not have a flag football tournament and get off all the SEC? You would cut down on the injuries. It would be a crowd to come see it.
So you would be good seeing the SEC teams play flag football?
Yes, for the spring game. I mean, it would generate so much money, see people's faces. You could watch their athletic ability. It would be so entertaining to watch it. I've been to several spring games. You watch the green team or the red team, the white team, blue team. This way it would generate money. The injuries would be cut in half. And that way you could see people kind of enjoying themselves, the players especially, instead of beating their heads together, because I get kind of bored watching the offense and defense and the teams play. This way it would open it up to the whole SEC conference.
By the way, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I do think Ben Portnoy was right earlier that the current system is seriously flawed. And, I mean, that hasn't stopped 70, 80, 90,000 people. Georgia had something like that a couple of years ago. But I think – thank you for the call. I think spring is really more about the game. It's about the event. It's about being back on campus on a mid-April day where it's supposed to be pretty and your family and you're seeing your tailgate friends and – you're getting the sense of football again after the winter. I just an opinion here, but I don't think flag football is really the answer. At least now, if you're studying a new quarterback, you get to see him in live action. Where I didn't watch the Pro Bowl, which was a flag football game. I had no interest. I'm either going to go see a simulation of a real football team, or frankly, I probably won't watch. Thank you. Others may have different opinions. I have no idea. Chip is up next in Georgia. Hey, Chip, go right ahead.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how you doing on this St. Patrick's Day, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, thank you. After the workouts and the NFL stuff and all, I just got a quick question for you. Do you think that Stetson Bennett can make it in the NFL, sir?
Chip, I don't see him being a dominant player in the NFL. I don't see him being a starter. I think he could make a roster, maybe as a backup. But beyond that, I don't, and listen, we're all equally aware of what he has been doing these last 2 years. But I don't think he's going to make it as a starter in the NFL.
I just wondered because he seems to have the IQ for it, and he seems to be a winner. And that's where I'm coming from.
But probably the biggest winner I've ever seen in my sports career is Tim Tebow, and he didn't make it in the NFL.
You've got a point, sir.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL, and I don't claim to understand it either. I mean, I follow the NFL. I remember being at the draft last year trying to understand what all these people were talking about. But it's so different than college football. And the biggest difference is that everyone around you is elite. And if you're an Alabama or Georgia player, most of the people around you are elite.
You actually have a good point on that. He certainly had elite players all the way around him. I've just got this gut feeling that he's a winner and that somehow or other he's going to make it, sir.
Well, I hope he does. But I'm just offering an opinion of somebody who watches it. Hey, thank you. We head to the break. Stuart Mandel joining us in the next hour, but it's still time for you to get in. We'd love to hear from you at 855-242-7285.